empty. And the subject, creating divinity, or in fact it should rather be recreating divinity, because it's there within us, but we have to look at it and emerge it and nurture it and sustain it. And so in fact we're doing two things. There's a whole process of construction going on, reconstruction, but also at the same time, I won't say destruction, but a process of cleansing that's going on. So construction and cleansing both go on side by side, which is why it takes time. If you've ever tried doing something from scratch, there's nothing there, and you start building there, you'll see that it's a lot easier than if there's something there already and then you have to sort it out and clean it up and turn it around and then out of that create something that's new. And so this is why Baba says it's effort. On the one side it's easy Raj Yoga, and on the other side it's recognizing what it is that's there within me that I need to recreate and transform and turn around and deal with. And so it takes half an hour to understand the lesson of the soul, literally, and it takes us decades and decades to maintain that awareness of who am I, and we still haven't got there yet. Yes, we know about it and we practice it, but it still slips away. And so one moment there's soul consciousness and the next moment it's gone away, because the body consciousness that's there has been there a very long time. And so cleaning that out and letting go of it and just maintaining that awareness of the real, the new, the original, not even new, the original, that that battle constantly goes on inside. Why this title or this topic came to my mind was when I was thinking of this morning's Murli, and I was seeing how much Baba focuses on both of these things, the end of Kaliyug, the beginning of Satyug. Baba's continually playing around with these two ideas, telling us how to finish the dark and how to increase the light. And sometimes, very often, Baba talks about focus on your aim and object, Lakshmi and Narayan. And when we first come to Baba, we don't always connect with that image. You know, there's strange figures and these strange clothes, very beautiful but yet strange, and all the paraphernalia that goes with emperors and empresses, we don't instantly take to it, generally. Some people do. I know that some people have loved the image of Lakshmi and Narayan as soon as they've seen it, but it took me a while to relate to it in a very deep way. But really, Baba's asking us to look at our own image of the future and bring that future into the present. Make it happen right now. And so that future image of Lakshmi and Narayan, the purity shines through, the love shines, the happiness is visible. But there's another word that Baba uses very often in the Murli that I feel is the big, big factor between a human being and the Devta, the deity, Lakshmi or Narayan. And that is wisdom. Baba often says, who made Lakshmi and Narayan so wise? How do they become so sensible? Who gave them that understanding? And then Baba adds to that, Lakshmi and Narayan were so wise that they were able to be the masters of the whole world. And if you think about a man or a woman at home running their own household, and how much juggling around is needed just to keep a household going. You know, two children, three children, just managing that. Or those of you who live in a center, if you think about, again, how many people live with you in your center, 2, 3, 4, not more, maybe, okay, 5 or 6 or 8. But Lakshmi and Narayan, and in the future, they'll be ruling a whole kingdom. And to have such wisdom that everything happens as it should. And then of course we know that everything happens as it should in Satyug anyway. The king and queen don't have to sit there giving instructions and orders. But translate that to the reality of Sangam Yug. And in Sangam Yug, see Madhuban, and you see today 2,000 plus servers. That's the list of people who are surrendered in Madhuban, around 2,000. And then now when you go down to meet Baba on the 10th, then you will hear the figures, but it'll be about 25,000 people who'll be there. And out of that, I think it'll be at least 10,000 people who were there to serve. So the surrendered brothers and sisters is one thing, but then thousands of people. And how does it all happen? How is it all functioning? And where did it begin? Well, it began with Baba and Mama. And Baba and Mama working with the daddies, and Mama taking a signal from Baba, and Mama then implementing that signal. It was Baba's instructions, but then following those instructions, following those signals, and you had the way things operated in Karachi with a group of 300. And then you come to Abu, and you're all under one roof. Before you weren't, you were in 7 different houses, but you come to Abu and you're all under one roof, and so everything's clear and visible, and you're on top of each other, and you're not going out anywhere except for walks with Baba, but the rest of the time pretty much you're together. And so those of you who've lived in a small community, and you know how easy it is to get into situations where you tread on each other's feet and you feel that you're on top of each other, you know how challenging that is. And yet here Baba and Mama created a situation in which everything worked in harmony. Yes, everybody had their own sanskars, but overall everything worked with God's instructions. And when situations would arise, then Mama would talk to each one, deal with it, and it would get sorted out, and things would move forward. And yes, there are a few accidents along the way, but generally the yagya continues to move forward to this point where now it's an unlimited yagya, unlimited in terms of numbers, unlimited in terms of countries, everything. And it starts with wisdom. And if today I want to move towards that stage where, do I want to be Lakshmi or Narayan? It's not a thought that comes into my mind very often. But yes, I do want to get to my complete stage. That is a very conscious thought that I hold in my mind every day, not just some days, but every day. And I'm sure it's the same for everyone. Early morning when you're with Baba, you're also emerging your own perfect form, your own complete form, and you're making sure that each day you're moving closer towards that. There's a very sweet story about how Baba used to ask the trance messengers through the 50s and 60s, when you see complete Baba, Sampan, perfect, complete Baba in the subtle region, and you see Baba here, what's the difference? Baba would have that humility in which everybody in the yagya was younger than Baba anyway, physically, but all the trance messengers were much, much younger than Baba. Just imagine, Baba was already at his age of retirement and Tadikulsar was 8 years old. So just see the contrast of age. And yet Tadikulsar was one of the trance messengers. He used to ask this question. And the question was to find out, what is that perfect form like? And how close or how far am I away from it? And usually the thing that they would talk about was the difference of the light, the intensity of the light. And so the complete perfect Brahma and just radiating absolute intense light, the angel. And this one, yes, you could see this person radiating light, but between this one and that one, the intensity of light. And so Baba was constantly aware that he needed to move forward to that final perfect stage. And to whatever extent we're aware of our journey and how far we've come on our journey and where it is we want to go, then we're going to be able to make that effort. And if I look at it in very practical terms in my own life today, what is it that's guiding me? And you all know the anatomy of the soul. You teach it to many others also. But out of the three, the mind, intellect and samskaras, what is it that's dominant in my life? Is it my waste thoughts? Is it my feelings? And deeper than feelings are the emotions. And so is it my feelings and emotions that are motivating me to do things? Or is it my samskaras? And my samskaras are a bit of a mixed bunch still, because I haven't gone through such intense tapasya that I've been able to clean them all out and make sure that it's only the divine samskaras that remain. It's a bit of this and a bit of that. It's both. And so, which of my samskaras are guiding me when? And so, what is it that's playing in my life? And the one thing that should be the most powerful in Brahman life is, of course, the buddhi, the intellect, the wisdom. But so often we know from our own experience that the reaction was the emotion. It wasn't the wisdom. It wasn't the Srimat. The buddhi holds the Srimat. What is it that Baba is saying to me? The buddhi also holds the conscience. Right, wrong, whatever. The buddhi holds the gyan. And is it gyan that's guiding me in my life, or is it my feelings? And so often, even though we may have been Brahmins for quite some time, it definitely isn't the buddhi that's guiding me. And so, the reason, I've got used to letting my feelings and emotions take over, rather than just taking a moment to pause. my feelings come rushing in, and I follow what my feelings will say. And feelings are very different to intuition. Intuition is connected very much to the clear line of the intellect. It's not my feelings. And everybody knows that one moment I can feel this way, the next moment I can feel that way. Feelings can change and shift very, very fast. And so it's not a question of feelings guiding me. But yet, of course, our feelings come so strongly that then we get led by those. And the reactions that we keep going through in life. And so often something happens, my reaction, and regret afterwards. But the only thing that was out of place was that I didn't take a moment to just have a pause, and instead of having my feelings determine what I say and do, in that little pause I need to ask myself the question, what is Baba saying? What does Baba want? I can't even trust my own intuition very often, because I haven't been used to listening to it, and I'm not sure how clean and clear it is anyway. But what is very clear is Baba Srimat. Baba has given such clear guidelines for every situation and everything we find ourselves in, relationships and people and stories. And there's a guideline that Baba's given for everything, A to Z. And so I just need to ask, what does Baba say? What is it that Baba wants of me? And the wisdom will be shining brightly. And I need to also have, not just at that moment, the answer, or what is it that Baba's saying. I also need to have the power. I need to have connected with Baba, not just at that moment, because, again, experience, I know what Baba is saying very clearly, but my feelings and my emotions are still jumping in, and I get sidetracked by those. And the reason why that's happening, I haven't given my buddhi enough time to be with Baba, to fill it with yoga power, with the capacity to be able to have the strength to control my mind. And so instead of the soul controlling the mind is controlling the soul. And so things are going out of line. And so if I'm moving towards my aim and object, the one of perfect wisdom, then I'll be able to see it in my life. Am I moving more and more guided by my buddhi rather than my mind, or rather than habit? My sanskars, many, many births, but also of this birth, habit. And so my habitual behavior. And again, here's what Baba's saying, and here's the habit that's pulling me. And so the power of the buddhi, the wisdom of the buddhi, is that which is going to keep me on track and make sure that I don't fall into the trap of either the feelings and emotions or the habits and sanskars. That each step that I take is a conscious one, a conscious decision. This doesn't mean that the soul becomes dry and rigid, because people sometimes associate feelings with spontaneity or creativity. Not at all. If I think about how spontaneous Dadi is, if I think about how creative she is, just continually, then it's because she's just made sure that the buddhi is so clean, so clear, that it's filled with nothing but Baba's Gyan. And so everything that's expressed is in a very pure way, but it's with Gyan. And Baba wants us to enjoy Sangam Yoga. Baba doesn't want us to be yogis sitting in a corner isolated from the family, but very much to be part of the family and to have that love and creative expression of interaction. So wisdom is the first word that comes to my mind when I think about the journey towards divinity, where I've been able to clean out all other sanskars and only the original pure deity sanskars now remain. I'm thinking about another word that Baba uses very often, and that also is a key to be able to bring about transformation. And so first, definitely the knowledge and the intellect, the wisdom. But the other one is awareness, and the Hindi word for this, smriti. And how do I get to that point where in my awareness is Baba, and in my awareness is Baba's knowledge, rather than all the information that I've accumulated inside myself over the years, education, media, whatever, public opinion. And the way to be able to transform the smriti, the awareness, is starting with Baba's Murali. I hear Baba's Murali and I think about Baba's Murali. I reflect on Baba's Murali. I churn Baba's Murali. And out of that churning, then the butter, the nourishment that stays with me is something that's ongoing. The truth is there with me, and as a result of that, there's the awareness. And this process that I've described is probably more difficult to remember in terms of step by step in English than it is in Hindi. And most of you know these Hindi words because you've heard them very, very often. And so, manan, thinking about the Murali, chintan, the deep reflection that's going on, and then the manthan, the churning, and then the simran, the soundless chant that's going on inside, and then from that, the smriti, the awareness. And when I heard Dadi describe these different stages, it made me understand very deeply what churning really is. Because we hear Baba speak about it and we don't usually practice it. We hear the Murali and we enjoy it, and then we get busy. And so where Baba says 1 hour of study and then 16 hours or even 18 hours of homework, well, how much homework am I doing from the Murali? I'm there physically present for the Murali. And maybe we're not always there alert with our full attention on the Murali. But if I'm really interested in this construction process, this recreation process of divinity, then it's going to be through the truth that Baba's sharing. And the truth doesn't come to me by inspiration. Baba's been very specific and clear about that. But Baba's actually speaking the truth every day. And first step, am I listening to it with that awareness of who is speaking and what is he saying to me? Who am I? Who is he speaking to? And then just thinking about it, what's going on in my mind? I leave the classroom, I leave the auditorium, I'm walking home, walking to work, walking to breakfast, whatever it is I'm doing, but there's always a little gap between the Murali and the next thing. So what's going on in my mind between the one thing and the next thing? Am I engaging my mind with what Baba has said? Some of the people in London follow what they used to do in the early days in the Yajna, and not everybody has the possibility of doing it, but they go out for a walk. First thing in the morning, after Murali, they go for a walk. And as I say, they're the lucky ones who have that possibility and the time. But it's something that is actually very, very useful. What Baba used to do in Abu, take them all out for a walk. Early morning, you have the nourishment for the intellect, but then you need time to digest it. And so Baba would say, come to the mountains, and Baba would lead them on a long walk. And even if I don't have that possibility of doing it, whatever else it is I'm doing, if there's something that's engaging my mind is anyway connected with it. And so if I just take a few things from the Murali, things that I've appreciated Baba saying, like today this title that Baba reminded us of, a title given to God, Prano Ke Pran. Prano Ke Pyare, the one who's, I don't know how it was translated in the English Murali, but then Baba said, Pran is life, breath, but it's the soul. And it's a very romantic idea that you are the one who are more precious, you are the one who are more beloved than life itself, than my own life, than I, the soul itself. But just think how, if it's something that's touched my feelings, my heart, the heart is here, it's not here, but if it's something that's really touched me, even that one sentence, if I hold that one thing from Baba Smurli and it stays in my mind, it's not a question of not having time to think about the Murali, right? It's a question of how interested I am in what Baba is saying. If I'm more interested in what human beings are saying, then that's going to go buzzing in my mind. But if I'm more interested in what Baba is saying, then I'm going to take, whether it's that sentence or whether it's a concept, an idea, whatever it is, but I'm going to take that and it'll play in my mind. And so the manan, what's going on in my mind? Then the chintan, this word chintan, worry. It's usually associated with this word worry. But they will also talk about it in terms of how when people want to stay in remembrance of God, then they're having deep reflections on God. And they say that when you take Rama, God, into your thoughts, that's when you're liberated from all worry. And it's true, when you take Gyan, Baba's Gyan, into your deep reflection, there's no space for worry about this, that, and the other, and the other, and the other. And so from the thing that's touched your heart, your mind, then you're going to reflect on it, and that truth is being absorbed. And you know, Daddy often talks about the chit, the memory track. And what she's been saying recently is that chintan and chit. The chintan, what is it I'm reflecting on? Whatever it is I'm reflecting on is going to impact my memory track. It's going to be there. And if I'm thinking about the truth, I'm reflecting on the truth, so the chit is becoming filled with truth and other things are being cleaned out. And so just as the construction and the cleaning process, both things going together, there's the process for the mind, but also the process for my own memory track, what's deep within me and is generating feelings, my memory track and feelings both together, because one is my conscious thinking and my feelings, but the other is where feelings come up suddenly, and we know about that. But something has triggered my memory, and so those feelings have come up, and it's as if I'm not in control. But if I've done my homework of cleaning out my feelings also, then those feelings now are pure feelings. So whatever it is that's going on, whatever may be the trigger, but what's going to come up inside of me is going to be very clean, wholesome, it's going to be good. And I can't blame and say, because they said, they did, this happened, that happened. No, it's because I haven't done enough homework. I haven't gone through that process of cleansing. And so, this idea that the churning of knowledge, the reflection, then being able to go into the depth of knowledge, and I'm drawing the essence of Gyan. Give you a practical example. Something happens and I've forgotten drama completely. How come? I hear about drama most days in Bhavas Murali, if not every day, but yet something's happened and it's really shaken me completely, and drama isn't part of my story at this moment. Well, it's because I haven't digested the information that Baba's given me about the drama, and the fact that drama is benevolent, drama is beneficial. Whatever it is what it is. But for Baba's child, it's beneficial. And if I hold on to that, if I've digested that, then whatever the scene comes, that's what's going to stay with me. I'm going to be able to hold myself together because of my faith that drama is beneficial. And other feelings and things can get sorted out because I'm understanding the benefit. I'm not seeing what the benefit is yet, but I know deeply, I have faith that yes, it is beneficial. And that's one example, because that's what we get struck by. Very, very often things come and we don't know how to deal with them. We're not able to hold on to that awareness of the benefit of drama. So the churning means that I've digested it. And once you've digested your food, it's given you strength, it's given you energy. And so it's there with me. And then the simran, the soundless chant, the awareness of Gyan that's there. It's not leaving me, it's there with me all the time. And so the Simriti, the awareness of God. And so from the state of wisdom, I make sure that I stay on track. From the knowledge that Baba's given me, again, it's very much connected with Buddhi. And so I'm seeing that the mastery of the self, being the self-sovereign, so the rulers of the future, the stage that Baba wants me to achieve, the stage of perfection, all of this happens through the power of the buddhi, the power of the intellect. And so what is it that's influencing me? Is it humans here, or is it God? And my yoga with God, it's going to be that which gives me power and keeps the intellect clean and clear. And so you can see where the thread of the Murlis over the past month it's really been one thread, I would even say 2 months since I've been in Madhuban. It feels as if every day it's been Baba telling us different aspects about detachment from the body, soul consciousness, detachment from other people, and connection with one. But at this moment in the drama, if I'm going to create, recreate and clean, this is the only way. It's not going to happen through any other method. And so this is why Baba has to keep underlining that lesson again and again. My buddhi is the most precious thing that I have. It truly is a gift from God. But having given you the gift, then you have to look after it. God's not going to look after it. I have to look after it. He's done his bit of giving it to me. Now I have to make sure that I take care of it. So this is why this whole idea of the devta, the deity stage, the divinity wisdom comes out so strongly for me. A few other aspects that I want to touch upon. And one other aspect is, in Hindi, devta dene vala, the one who gives. And you see the image of Lakshmi, her hands wide open. And of course what they show is wealth pouring out from her hands, abundance. And am I so full? Have I taken everything that Baba's offering me so that I'm able to be full and I'm able to actually give? And yes, of course, Baba spoke about my relationship with Baba and the give and take with Baba today. But I'm thinking more in terms of giving of myself. Am I ready to give off my time? And Daddy today, even at this age, in 100th year, and she's still giving, giving, giving. It's quite an incredible example. And it's not just the classes, but it happens not by appointment, but it just happens when it happens. When she's sitting in Indraprastha and she's around and people are around, people come and say hello and she's there to give. And so, and the challenge for us today, those who are with her, is trying to fix appointments, because appointments don't work anymore and her time is totally flexible, and so we have to be totally flexible with that also. But the point that giving of yourself, and most of you will remember the days when she would start meeting people from 9 o'clock in the morning and it would carry on till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, just non-stop, just giving, giving, giving. So giving of yourself in terms of time, giving of yourself in terms of attention, giving of yourself in terms of care. Am I more concerned about myself than I am about others? Am I willing to do what Daddy says, care, share and inspire? Am I willing to be so generous that if somebody has said something to me, I can say, never mind, it's okay, and just again give them respect instead of expecting something from them and then giving them respect? And if that's what I'm doing, that's just an exchange. It's not really giving at all. And so devta, the one who's able to give. And this is how Baba, Mama, Dadi, Dadi Kumarka, Didi, whoever, all of you who have had the fortune of knowing, they've been the ones who've given, constantly, continually giving. And so you don't have to question what their future is, but you know what their future is. And so same thing for us today, each one. Instead of an exchange, you give me, then I will give you. Am I willing just simply to give? Then it's a reality that at some point they start giving you their attention, their love, their respect. It starts coming back. And the seed of being able to give is twofold. One, I've recognized my own value and I've been able to tap into my own inner resources and connect with the treasures that lie within, which is what Baba's reminding us of every day. And secondly, my connection with Baba. And I've been able to receive from Baba to such an extent that I don't need to expect or anticipate or want anything from anyone else. Baba continues to give me and it continues to flow out and it's able to reach others. And so human habit of expectation and the disappointments that come because of expectations, I'm liberated. Really. Big, big freedom when you stop expecting from anyone. The third thing that I want to touch upon, and that is the deities are very much in the present. In terms of the theory of the cycle, we know this. If the deities were to remember Kali Yuga, there would be sorrow. And if the deities were to remember the Copper Age, there would be more sorrow. But no awareness. The past is over. No trace of it remains. The future, of no concern. It will be whatever it will be. But the focus is simply on the present. And in the present, of course, in the deity stage, there is good karma automatically. It's not a question of having to decide what to do. The sanskars are there, the good karma has happened, and so everything is flowing in that direction. But now, at this moment, no shadows from the past touching me and no worries about the future pulling me, because both of these things don't allow me to take benefit from the present opportunity. Maybe it's my own guilt about the past, maybe it's the sorrow of others and what they've done from the past, but really it's finished, it's gone. And the thing about remembering the sorrow that others have given me in the past, you know, Baba has this dual message that Baba gives us. Don't give sorrow, but also don't take sorrow. The giving of sorrow, in a way, I'm in charge. I can decide I'm not going to give sorrow. And then that determined thought and revising it every day and making sure I don't give sorrow. But taking sorrow, how can I control what other people are saying and doing? No way. So things are going to happen that I wouldn't like, that cause a disturbance, but they've happened. And if I'm going to take sorrow from that, definitely it's going to be expressed and I'm going to be giving sorrow in some form or another. Whether it's just by my vibrations, because I've taken sorrow so it's there, and so that heaviness will create those vibrations. And so taking sorrow is really the trigger that's going to make me, in some way or another, start giving sorrow. Or even if I don't intend to give them sorrow, I'm sharing my pain with another. And they're empathetic, they're listening, and I'm sharing with them something, So that's the third thing about the deity stage. Stay in the present. No worries about the past or anxiety about the future. And that is here before time. Fantastic. Okay. Om Shanti.